Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We made this.
Time. Reality. Reality. It's changeable.
Want to be? That's the question, isn't it?
Every universe is different. Each one unique.
Slow down a little bit. There's a few people in the room that don't understand. Not me. I get it.
You.
The name's Captain Carter.
Scheiße!
I am the Watcher. I observe all that transpires here. But I do not, cannot, will not interfere. I guess I have to freestyle then.
A Ravager never flies solo. I said never flies solo.
Is that some kind of catchphrase?
You had me worried for a second.
Journey to face the unknown and ponder the question. What if?
And welcome to Podcast 616, a podcast all about the Marvel Universe for the We Made This podcast network. I'm your host, Tony Black, and in this episode, we're going to be discussing the next Marvel Studios series to arrive on Disney Plus, What If? Based on a series of comics that first debuted in 1977, What If features the legendary Marvel character of The Watcher, Uatu the Watcher, voiced here by Jeffrey Wright. The last of a race of extra-dimensional beings who sees the entirety of the multiverse, but will never interfere directly. With the Watcher as our guide, What If peers into alternate versions in different universes of stories and the lives of characters that we already know quite well. So what if Peggy Carter took the super serum instead of Steve Rogers? Or what if Yondu abducted a young T'Challa instead of Peter Quill? This is just a couple of the fascinating stories that the show looks set to provide. So, joining me to do a little bit of a primer on What If the series and the idea in general are two of your regular Podcast 616 hosts, Mark Adams and Craig McKenzie. How are we doing, guys?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, I'm all right. I'm quite excited about this. One thing I will say about your lovely intro is that I very much enjoyed the intonation when you were saying what if, because you kind of took notice of the question mark. So well done on that.
Yeah, it's something I'm determined to try and get right whenever we do this. And I'm going to encourage all the other hosts to make sure they enunciate the what if I think. What if? You know, we need to be practicing this over the next few weeks. I'm glad you're excited about it, because that's going to be the first thing I'm going to ask you guys, really, because as we record, we're about 3 weeks out, I think, from the show, maybe 2 weeks. And, you know, as you listen to this, it'll be a bit close to the time. But yeah, what are our expectations? I mean, how much are we all looking forward to this?
So normally when I see something animated, like, for example, Lower Decks, which has its own show on the network, I expect them to do something that they couldn't or wouldn't do with a live action show. But what can't they do with Marvel live action? Because, you know, it's got the biggest budget in all of Hollywood at the moment. So I don't know what I'm expecting, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, I guess the thing they can't do is bring back characters that have, where the actors have left, and they can just get a voice sound alike to get them done, because we're not getting Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man for these shorts or whatever they are. I can't remember who is voicing him, but it's not Robert Downey Jr. He said no.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Good grief, I thought it was all the original actors.
Yeah.
No, not all of them. Some of them. But yeah, there's some actors are replaced. And I imagine they'll sound enough like them that you can get on with it. But yeah, that's one thing they can't do. I'm excited about this. I'm always excited about Marvel stuff. And I always like playing in the whole what if side of things. What if this happened instead of that happening? And that kind of stuff. The road not taken type situation is always of interest to me. Parallel universes, parallel events, parallel experiences.
I think you're right. I think there's a huge amount of, even particularly with podcasters, like, what if this, what if that? They should have done this, they should have done that. When you become a relatively big fan of something, you can't help thinking about alternative endings and alternative storylines. And, well, we've already had that with Loki in a lot of ways, but I think it is quite an indulgence in a strange way, what if.
Yeah, the comics are very indulgent in themselves, aren't they? You know, these kind of stories are very much a case of, let's just have fun and try and invert the established things, you know, that we know. And we'll talk a little bit more about the comics a bit later, I think, but the source material. But it is indulgent, and it is the kind of thing that, could they have got away with it in phases 1 to 3? I mean, I know they weren't doing the TV shows then, but say if they were, in this kind of way, could they have got away with What If even as a live action show before this point, do you think?
No, you need a lot of history to make it work. I think you need to have that build up and have that all established so that you have events that you can go play with.
I think it's actually quite a deliberate choice that they've obviously started looking at multiverses with Loki. There's going to be clearly a film about multiverses because it's called The Multiverse of Madness. And everybody wants the Spider-Verse. And I think everything is happening at the same time. It's clearly a deliberate choice that this is the right time for What If. And I think they're right.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been very intentionally placed at the point it's coming out. No, especially now we've seen Loki. And obviously last time, none of us have spoken about Loki since the end of the finale, actually. Let's sidebar, actually, because it is sort of connected. What did you guys make of that final episode of Loki when He Who Remains is revealed?
I was disappointed with it. I found it a bit too much of just explaining information that we already had, but saying, and then this guy did it, and then too much setup for season 2 and not enough payoff for what we'd been getting in season 1. So that was my problem with the ending of it. I think the first 5 episodes were great. And there was things in the 6th episode that I loved, but on the whole, I was disappointed with it as an episode of something.
I think I'm going to politely disagree wholeheartedly with you, Craig. I thought it was incredibly brave to be so subversive with the final episode of Loki and do something that nobody expected. The dialogue and all, I found it really interesting the way they handled it, and Kang, or whatever you wanted to call him, not being this kind of super ham arrive and smash everything. I thought that was fantastic and bleak and dark. And I absolutely get where you're coming from, but I took it in a completely different way.
No, it's fair. I think everybody's going to have different reactions to it. It's just, I wanted more payoff, and it didn't give me enough payoff. That was my problem with it.
I think with that, and I think I'm in between both of you, to be honest, appropriately, in that I see where you're both coming from, and I sort of sit on the fence because I was very happy to see Jonathan Majors, and I kind of suspected, like I think most of us did, that he might actually pop up in this final episode, given he'd been previously announced to play Kang. And if you know a little bit about the comics like we do, then you know that Kang is very time travel-y, it's very multiverse-y, that kind of thing. But I part of me felt that whole conversation just was a lot of explanation, and it went on a long time. And it kind of, in a way, I think that Loki season was kind of not what we thought it would be, you know, in a way. I think it didn't go down the path. I expected a much more playful, sparky show than we actually ended up getting for the most part. And that's not me criticising, because I did enjoy it. But I think that ending kind of, like you said, it was quite dark, it was quite bleak. And it very much doesn't conclude anything, does it? It very much opens up all of these variations on stories and universes that clues into What If and beyond. So it wasn't at all a conclusion. No, that is true. And I think that was intentional.
I like that it wasn't intentional and that we were expecting a conclusion. And then it was like, holy shit, it's opened up everything. And that wasn't what we expected. And I'm glad, because how boring is it if you get what you expect every time?
I suppose your point, Craig, is that from a dramatic point of view, did you not think it really worked as an open-ended sort of conclusion that's going to feed off into...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Other things. And if that's the case, how was it different to how WandaVision or The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which themselves are setting up other stuff, ended? Is there a difference with Loki?
So I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier is the only one that really ends its mission statement, as in, let's give Sam the shield, let's have him become comfortable with taking the shield. The show sets that up from episode one and ends with that. So it does resolve itself, even though it is setting up things in the future and Bucky's making amends a bit for his past transgressions. Even though he's not completely done that, it's still resolved to a degree. So yeah, there's other things going on in the background, but those two big things are resolved. WandaVision resolves the whole, she needs to get out of this rut that she's dug in for herself, and it resolves that. I think it resolves it in quite a clunky way in the end, because it just turns into a let's throw different coloured magical bolts at each other for half an hour type finale, which is never all that interesting. And I think with Loki, I had no problem with the fact that they left us with questions that remain unanswered, because that's fine, especially if we're getting a season two. I don't want everything wrapped up in a neat little bow all the time. And introducing Kang was a brave choice, but I don't think they fully justified it, because they didn't really give you enough of who he was within the context of, well, the show itself and the universe, because it's five episodes of setting him up, and then it's one episode of him, and it's one episode of developing him and telling you who he is and why that's important. And there's just things that Loki didn't do. There's questions that he should have asked that he didn't ask and things like that. He just sat there and listened to it, and I kept wondering, why isn't Loki questioning this whole plan that supposedly set out? Because they deliberately had that thing where, okay, I've ran out of my script now, I don't know what comes next. So Loki should have asked something like, does that mean you're trapped in the same way we are? If so, who trapped you? Questions like that, they just never ask them.
Yeah, there are some interesting questions that are... I think that's the whole dramatic thing, isn't it? You know, you get that so often in TV shows or movies, particularly TV shows, where the obvious question that everyone would ask in real life, which would very quickly explain everything or skip quite a few dramatic beats, isn't asked. So I get it from that perspective. But no, I think they're good points. I think, to be fair, I think that whole episode is worth it for the Miss Minutes jump scare moment. Which was a real kind of, whoa, Miss Minutes is back.
I think we can all agree that was magnificent.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah. I would have liked it had she been behind everything. Miss Minutes is the real villain.
Yeah. And that was a theory, wasn't it? I genuinely think some people were theorising that like the week before, going, maybe it's Miss Minutes. Like, that would have been a twist. That would have been brilliant. But yeah, so Loki kind of ends things with... Well, Loki ends things with opening up the idea of the multiverse, which we've sort of had explained and we sort of haven't. I suppose we're at a point now, aren't we? And this is where What If comes into the picture. Where if you're a Marvel fan and you know about some of this stuff, you will know roughly what we're going to be going towards. Whereas if you're not, put yourself in the position of somebody who's just a random viewer, potentially, or somebody who loves this kind of stuff but isn't really well versed in the comics. Are they at this point really going to understand, before they watch What If, what the multiverse is, in a sense, as a concept, and where this might go, do you think? Or do you think that there are still some... And maybe this was What If we'll do. There are still some explanations to be had within the continuity of the universe for audiences.
I think it's not a difficult concept to grasp, to be honest. Conceptually, it's very simple. It's the thing you're familiar with, but slightly different. Or completely different, depending on how far they want to take it. So I think with a little bit of explanation, it can be shown to you. Especially if they've seen Avengers Endgame, which, let's face it, half the world has, according to how much money it made. In that, they essentially travel the multiverse. They create alternate realities that don't impact their one. The whole idea is, we're going to go here, create this splinter timeline. There's even the bit where the Ancient One says, look, here's a line, and here's another line. You were on this line, now you're on this line. And the two don't connect, apart from the point that you cross over. But so I don't think it's that difficult to grasp. And I think that a lot of other media has been playing around with it anyway. It's lesser watched, but the Arrowverse has been doing multiverse storytelling for years now, many years. So I think it's out there, and I think it's easy enough, and people will understand maybe just through osmosis that, oh, the Mirror Universe from Star Trek, Spock had a beard. They were all evil. So you'll get the idea. I think a lot of people will be familiar with the idea of an evil universe, of alternate possibilities from other things. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too much of an ask to get the audience caught up on it.
I think you're right, but I also think they're being cautious by making it cheaper and animating it. Loki quite clearly facilitated and legitimized it, but it could have been done at any point. But again, it's animated, which makes it cheaper. So I think there's an element of caution. But so there's still an element of confidence as well. So I think, yeah, I think it's going to be great. But and I think it would have been great without Loki. But I think Loki very much enhances its potential.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think I agree with Craig in the whole thing that Avengers Endgame plays with this idea to an extent. And the fact that they jokingly sort of talked about the multiverse in Far From Home, didn't they? Spider-Man Far From Home. And it was part of the gag in a way, but it was also a light way of establishing Earth 616 and these ideas, which are going to become much more part of the story later on. So they, I suppose, they're phasing it in different ways, aren't they? They're phasing it in a broad epic sweep. They're phasing it in comedy. They're phasing it in with the kind of Loki story, where there's a lot of potential backstory to all of this, which again reminded me of again another lesser known thing compared to Marvel, but Fringe. You know, the whole story that He Who Remains tells is very Walter Bishop and Walton, you know, in that show, for anyone who's watched Fringe. So, again, these are the ideas of alternate universes is definitely something that has been out there before. But Marvel, I think, is really going to do this. Because, you know, as some of the you know, examples you gave there, Craig, it tends to be one alternate universe, maybe two. And people are used to the evil universe, the bad universe. But I don't think the multiverse as such, beyond perhaps the Arrowverse, has really been done in a big pop culture style yet. And maybe What If will be the first time you get what looks like an anthology-ish show, but then it's probably more tethered than we think at this stage. It's the first time we're going to see this properly in action week to week in a series.
Yeah, it won't be too far of a leap to understand the broad nature of it. It's a simple high concept idea, really.
If comic book readers could imagine it in 1977, I think the relatively sophisticated audience that watches MCU will be all right.
They'll get it all right, wouldn't they? Yeah. And I think the way they ease people into it, I think, and maybe that's what If is all about, easing people into this idea of alternate versions of all of these classic stories. And by doing, I think, riffs on stories and characters we know well already, it's a kind of soft landing for potentially this getting a lot more complicated as time goes on, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, on that, let's talk about the trailer then to What If. Let's go into a little bit of this, unpick some of this detail then that we see. Now, I think the first thing is that I'm sure you guys noticed as well, the presence of Doctor Strange in this trailer is slightly different to all of the other characters we see, in that he seems to actively be on some sort of journey. Like, you see him falling down what looks like some kind of time portal thing, and then you see him talking to an alternate universe Peggy Carter, aka Captain Britain. She looks like she is, because she's holding a British shield as opposed to the Captain American shield. And he asks who she is. So that's Doctor Strange, not only in an alternate universe, but clearly in the 1940s. So what is going on there? Like, what is happening to Doctor Strange, do we think, based on what we've seen?
I just think it's a shame that the guy was texting while driving and now has to fix the multiverse. That's the consequence of that.
Wow. Yeah. So are you speculating that Strange might be a consistent across all the episodes?
Possibly. Or at least some sort of arc tether, because we're assuming that if this goes by the logic of the comics, you have the character of the Watcher, who is, as I say, voiced by Jeffrey Wright, and he is this being in the comics who sort of introduces, you know, he's the, if you want to do the, you know, the Tales from the Crypt kind of thing, the Crypt Keeper, he's the one who goes, hello, dear readers, I'll invite you into a world of, you know. We assume that maybe that's how it's going to be. But is it, you know, will it be Strange popping up at various points, and will there be an ongoing story here? I wonder. I mean, we've got, it's pure speculation, we've got no idea, but it looks like they're suggesting that in the trailer, because he seems to have an understanding that this is an alternate universe, possibly, that he's in. Well, he must do, because he's in the 1940s, so he must surely, obviously, understand that something's not right, and it's different from everybody else.
Well, the multiverse is mentioned in the first Doctor Strange anyway. The Ancient One talks about how the, as magic people draw power from the multiverse, they don't go too much into it, but like the Dark Dimension, for example, is just another universe, and that's where the Ancient One was getting her power, and Doctor Strange presumably steals power from other universes without really worrying about it. So again, they don't cover it in much detail, but the word is specifically mentioned, and yeah, it would make sense for him to be maybe doing a bit of scouting in the wake of Loki. When they first announced this show, it just seemed like it was going to be a bit of an offshoot, bit of fun. You know, we're going to play around with our continuity a little bit. We're going to give you alternate takes on these famous stories, these now famous stories that you've watched in films and so on. And then they could just not really worry about it impacting anything. But in the wake of Loki, it seems like these universes will actually mean something and maybe connect in some way. So, yeah, using Doctor Strange as a bit of a bridge to connect them. I mean, I've got a theory about how I think the last episode will play out. And it's based on the last run of What If I read, which may not be the last one they released, but it's the last one I read, and it was Old Man Logan and Black Widow becoming Thor and all this stuff. But basically the last issue of that was them all teaming up, which is something that What If hadn't done before to my knowledge. So when I first heard about that, and then the multiverse stuff was starting to come into play, I was thinking, maybe we're going to get, what, 5 episodes of disconnected stories, and in the 6th one all the heroes from this will come together and fight something else or deal with something else.
Fascinating.
That would be very cool, wouldn't it?
I mean, I assume you spotted that the Ancient One features in the trailer as well, but I'm not 100% sure on this. Wasn't there some WandaVision runes as well in that scene where, with the Ancient One and Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
They'll just be magical runes, really, won't they? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's obviously connectives here.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Multiverse of Madness and WandaVision in some fashion, what did you pick out then? What were your, from this trailer, I mean, I've got some things I saw, but what were your particular favourites that you saw in terms of what stories you might be able to look forward to?
So I've always had this thing where I'll watch a trailer once and I won't overanalyze it. And my friend Fraser, who is my co-host on Right in the Childhood, watches them 100 times and I've always mocked him for it. But for this one, I did a Fraser and I watched it about 10 times and my notes are atrocious. So the first thing I would like to mention, if we're not doing it in strict order, because I do have notes in strict order.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing I'd like to mention is I was gutted that the Howard the Duck series was cancelled. And so seeing Howard in this made me very, very happy.
Are we going to get a whole Howard the Duck episode? That's the question. Or is it just going to be a cameo?
I don't care, as long as Howard's in it, and I know he's in it because he's in the trailer. But I really enjoyed the MODOK series, which was supposed to be kind of a crossover with the Howard series. So, okay. I've got a little bit of hope, which I wasn't expecting to have. And I really like Howard. I've even got a fondness for the terrible film that really should never have existed in the way it was made.
You're the only fan
of that film,
that
started,
I think,
with duck boobs. Seriously, what film that is supposed to be for children starts with duck tits? I just don't get it.
Answers on a postcard, listeners, please, to that question. Thank
but
you.
I like Howard, and I will go to my grave liking Howard, and I don't care, and I'm excited about Howard.
That's fair. That is fair.
Your turn, Craig. Be a bit less inane than me.
So I'm always interested to see more of Peggy. I love that character. I still think it's a travesty that Agent Carter didn't get anything beyond 2 seasons. And she's never really got a proper exit from the MCU as well. She gets killed off screen in Civil War, and then that's it. And funnily enough, that happened, well, the Civil War came out just as her show had been cancelled as well, so she got killed twice in the same week, in effect, which is a real shame for Peggy. But I love seeing that character. So getting to see her in the Captain America type role will be really cool. But it does bring up a few questions for me, such as, how did she get chosen for the serum? And then how do we get to this point where Steve gets put in a giant Iron Man suit? How do events play out that differently? In the same way that, how does T'Challa get abducted by Yondu? He's not the child of Ego, surely. Did Yondu just go to the wrong place? I guess the shows will explain that, or hopefully they will. But those are the kind of questions that crop up in my mind. But definitely the Captain Carter, the Captain Britain, whatever she's going to be called, stuff I'm really interested in seeing. And then if we get a live action appearance from that character later on, then I'm all for it. There's other stuff that just seems like I'm not sure what's quite happening here. You've got Winter Soldier, but Cap's a zombie somehow, for example. And I'm not quite sure how that factors in.
Let's address zombies separately. What did you think of the sword with Captain Carter? Do you think it's Excalibur?
Ooh, might be.
Maybe, or the Stark version of Excalibur.
Yeah, and I also liked that to get like a 12A, you can have like, is it 2 swear words? And they've clearly decided that Zola saying Shizer is worthy of one of their swear words, which made me smile.
Well, they get away with that in the MCU anyway. It's the F-bomb. For a 12A or PG-13, you're allowed to drop it once, and the context has to be very specific.
Who's going
to
drop that then, I wonder? We'll have to see.
But it's not happened yet. They keep threatening it in Spider-Man movies.
They'll get there. If Star Trek's effing and blinding, you can bet Marvel will at some point.
But save it for the Punisher. You should be saying fuck.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. My pick actually was going to be the zombies, because that goes back to the Robert Kirkman comic from 2005, which I'm almost at the point of reading, actually. I'm doing a bit of a read through that sort of era. And it was a world where all the Marvel heroes and villains had basically turned into flesh-eating zombies who then went on to eat their way through the galaxy. Very weird stuff. From what
I've read them all
I've heard.
And I loved them.
Yeah, they're really popular, aren't they? And I think that's if they're going to do a Marvel Zombies episode, then that might be a real highlight, I think, of the whole thing.
Could be.
Yeah. Did you spot who it seems to be gets the zombie virus?
Well, it's Tony. He's one of them, I think, isn't it? Does it look like it's Tony?
Well, they all seem... Well, I assume they'll all get it in the end. But there was that scene where Janet Van Dyke was in the quantum realm. And it was implied that the zombie virus comes from the quantum realm.
Ah, right. Okay. That's interesting.
In the comics, it was the ultimate version of Reed Richards that started it, I think.
Ah.
We don't have Reed Richards, so it's got to be someone else. So I think it's the original Wasp.
You know what I kept wondering, right, actually? What if... That's not actually... That wasn't actually intentional.
Tee-hee.
What if they stealth introduced Fantastic Four here in some way? Or they threw in Reed Richards and they did it in this? Wouldn't that be brilliant? And that everyone knows who this is or it's going to be or it's a version of. And, you know, if you read Marvel anyway, that I'd love that. I think that would be absolutely brilliant.
I can't see them doing that. I think the Fantastic Four will be introduced in a very big way, and it will be at some kind of Disney event where there's a big screen.
Probably.
They roll out the cast. It's like, here's your cast. Reed Richards is black. Everyone kick off now because Kang's black and might be his descendant. So that gives you an idea of who they might be looking for Reed Richards.
Yeah, I don't mind. That's great. You know, there's absolutely no reason Reed Richards can't be black. 100%.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. Couldn't care less.
No.
Yeah, they just got to get the right actor, definitely, and that's what matters. And it'd be different from the other films, but yeah, you're probably right, Craig. I'm wishful thinking here. Maybe not the Fantastic Four. Maybe like Reed in an alternate universe version, and it's Reed Richards, and we go, "Oh, it's Reed Richards." Maybe I don't know.
But he's probably just a drawing or whatever, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it is tempting that they could put in Fantastic Four or a mutant or something like that. But from my more watches than I'd like to admit, I didn't see any new characters comic book characters that haven't been in the MCU yet. I didn't see that.
They'll keep them secret though, won't they? There'll be surprises. There's bound to be one or two, I think, surely, in this.
Except the Watcher, although the Watcher's kind of been in it. In Guardians.
Yeah, the Watcher's been in it. Yeah. He was chatting to Stan Lee, wasn't he? Or at least his mates were. We don't know if it was O2.
Well, wasn't it supposed to be that, wasn't it, or was this just a fan theory, but that Stan Lee was Uatu? Wasn't that the fan theory that he was playing the Watcher all through those films?
Yeah, that was, I think that was just because he's in all of them and he always shows up at these pivotal events, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea, and maybe it was true at one point, but obviously we can't have Stan anymore, so if that was true, it's actually quite sad.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're actually doing the Watcher as we see him in the comics, don't get me wrong. 100%. There's no reason he can't be both, I suppose, you know. But yeah, I mean, there were other things. What else did you guys spot? I've got a few that I've found on a handy breakdown. Was there anything else that really stood out to you guys before I rattle through one or two of these?
So one of the most famous ever issues of What If was What If the Avengers faced Galactus? And that was actually the first issue of What If I ever read. And the Avengers lost spectacularly to Galactus. So I think when you see that switch from the Avengers to the alternative Guardians, they're going to lose to Loki. Like that, and that will be their equivalent in the show of one of the most famous comics of What If that they ever did. And I just want to say one thing. If he is like a combination of T'Challa and Star-Lord, does that make him T'Char-Lord? I love myself. Okay.
How long have you been cooking that up?
Oh, mate, that's been my plan for the entire podcast. I'm done now.
Yeah, that'll be it. No more from Mark. He's peaked. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
But no, it definitely is that they're in the Battle of New York, isn't it? So I think that's going to be very interesting. You might well be right there. Definitely. That'll be cool. It looks like they are, at least, anyway. The other ones, the other big one that sort of starts it off is Killmonger and Iron Man, which is going to be an interesting one as well. And that Killmonger is the one who helps save him, and that spirals them off. And I think it ends up leading to some kind of battle in Wakanda as well. So that will be interesting, I think, to see where that goes as a separate thing. Maybe that's because we won't have T'Challa in Wakanda, obviously, because he's off somewhere else that it's a different way of approaching Wakanda through that. So,
assuming that's the same universe, because it might not be.
Yeah, T'Challa Lord and the Killmonger will be separate episodes.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be. Yeah, probably.
Well, I'm assuming each episode is a standalone what if rather than a continuity. Each one will be like a standalone what if, like an issue of the comic, and then the next one will be a standalone. That's what I'm assuming anyway.
Yeah.
Rather than one big alternative world.
Yeah, no, you're probably right, actually, yeah. Well, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The other one that is there's another one that's there which looks like there's a lot of Ultrons involved, and Thor is connected to them. And it's in a very sort of colourful, brightly lit area that could be New York, it could be somewhere like Madripoor, it could be some sort of neon city, but it looks like Thor might be fighting some
Las Vegas.
Ultrons. It could be Vegas.
I assume Las Vegas, yeah.
It could be.
But Thor versus Ultron bots in Vegas, how did we get there? I'm looking forward to finding out if that's right.
Yeah. I mean, not really. I suppose it could just be an alternate take on Age of Ultron where they failed and then Ultrons have taken over the world. But if they failed, then everyone in the world dies. So I don't know. The possibilities are endless. And I think the trailer is very good at just giving you a flavour of things to expect, but without how to expect them.
Yeah, definitely. Without the context. Thinking of the, just reading through some of these, the Peggy Carter episode, it seems like she's fighting something called Shuma-Gorath, which was an amalgamation of mystical beings that has a very Cthulhu-style backstory. So she's fighting some sort of Lovecraftian monster thing as well. So that, God knows where that story's going to go. That seems to be very different from what we saw in the first Avenger. So,
wasn't there something like that in Guardians 2 at the start? Think it might be that?
Oh, yeah, that's an amazing scene, isn't it? Where they're fighting and and little Groot is running around.
And little Groot's dancing, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a great scene. Could be. It sounds like something like that, doesn't it? Like a Lovecraftian monstery thing. So it might be the same thing. There's also Loki. It's separate, or maybe we'll get Loki in the episode with T'Challa Lord and the Guardians, but see, I'm saying it now, T'Challa Lord. This is going to stick, I think. But it looks like Loki has gathered an army of Asgardians, and it looks like he's facing off against Nick Fury in some sort of desert space. So there's suspicions that this might branch off from Thor, because he's holding something called the Casket of Ancient Winters, which he uses to just try and destroy Jotunheim in the first movie, and Thor stops him. And you also see Hawkeye holding his arrow like he does in Thor, when you see him in Thor. So maybe if that's a world where Thor doesn't exist, or Thor's dead or something, and Loki is, because he looks like he's in full supervillain mode.
Could be.
There's definitely a scenario where Loki won, isn't there? And he's got all of Asgard on side. Now, that is something I would like to see in What If that wasn't in the trailer. Alligator Loki.
Surely they must. Like, there's, you know, given how well received Alligator Loki, if not this series, then he should get his own series 2 episode, because we know What If's already been renewed for a second series. So,
true.
It's got to happen, innit? If Howard the Duck can get one, surely. You know.
Rude.
Sorry, yeah. We know you're the one big fan of Howard. Yeah.
I just proves what I'm saying. Everyone, the worst film is someone's favourite film.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was my favourite film. I just said I'm fond of it. Come on now. There's a line. It's not my favourite film.
Well, the internet's all about binaries, isn't it? So either it's the best film ever or the worst film ever. So by that logic, it has to be the best film ever, according to you.
It's the best. Yeah. And that's what's going to stick now, Mark. This is what you'll become known for, I think, that you think Howard the Duck is the best film ever.
Fuck's sake. So, I mean, I'm hardly highbrow with my favourite film. It's Sin City. But, you know, there's a line, and it's not fucking Howard the Duck.
It's not Howard the Duck.
Well, it is now.
No, it is now. Yeah.
Oh.
It is now. Could be worse. I'm not sure how, but it could be worse. But what else? I mean, Spider-Man pops up briefly. I'm trying to think of some of the other characters. Like we said, the Ancient One appears.
Ego.
Does it?
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Ah.
Just just like Kurt Russell face, but yeah, he's there.
Ah, cool. And, okay. Yeah.
And Scott Lang's has like a Futurama head moment, which I was like, what, why, where, when, huh?
And to be fair, I would say to anybody, if you want to see who else is in this, I would go to IMDb and look at the cast, because you will see lots of other names. The Hulk we see in the trailer, so we know, and we see Bruce Banner as well, so we know the Hulk is in there, and it looks like he's with Natasha. It looks like a Black Widow as well.
I thought it was like a relationship, what if their relationship had worked thing.
Could be. But yeah, I'm not going to reveal all the names on IMDb, because I'll leave that up to you listeners if you want to know who else is in it. But there's a lot of people, I'll say that. But not all of the people on that list are in the trailer.
That does seem like a more efficient way of doing it than watching the trailer uncountable numbers of times.
But anyone can update IMDb, so you, it could, it's not accurate. It might not be accurate.
That is true. Yeah, there's loads and loads of people. So it's going to be fun, I think. And we obviously will know if there's more of a structure to it and more of an arc to the story as we go on through Doctor Strange or through The Watcher or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be very intriguing, I think. Two things to finish. Firstly, so you guys have talked about it, so you've read some of the source material comics for this. I've read a couple. I think the first one I read was the first one, actually. I went back right to 77, and it was, I think it was What If Spider-Man Joined the Fantastic Four, which was, and they became the Fantastic Five, which was quite fun.
Yeah, and they push Sue out, and she hooks up with the Submariner and all that.
The Submariner, yeah. So what ifs have you guys read that stood out to you?
So I've read a lot of the early ones. I don't exactly know how many, but I've read a ton of the early ones, and a few of them sort of stand out, but what you tend to find is the writers, because they know it doesn't mean anything, just take them in really extreme directions. And the one that I always bring up is, what if Peter Parker had managed to save Gwen Stacy? And then as soon as he does, he unmasks, proposes to her, then Jameson finds out his identity and sues him and all this stuff. And you just think, if this would never have happened in that way in the main continuity, even if he had managed to save her life. There was never a possibility of that. She was always supposed to die. But it would have been, he would have unmasked, and then things would have just reset to a similar status quo to the one that we got, except Gwen Stacy would be there. So they do just tend to take these ideas and just go nuts with them. Same with what if Spider-Man had joined the Fantastic Four? I don't think Sue would have become submissive to the Submariner as a result of that.
Yeah, I think there's some great issues, like the one I mentioned about the Avengers replacing the Fantastic Four in the fight against Galactus. And there were some really, really iconic ones. But on the run I read in the 90s, if they had a few panels left, they always used to do really, really dumb, tiny, tiny little what-ifs at the end. Hoping that they might do that in the show as well. It was things like, what if the guy with the surname Richards in the Rolling Stones, what's his name?
Keith Richards.
Thank you. It was things like, what if Keith Richards launched the Fantastic Four? And
what
if Wolverine was the worst at what he did? And stuff like that. And so I'd love to see just these 1 minute piss takes at the end of each episode.
Yeah.
What if Tony Stark was an idiot? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that, but I would love to see it, because that's my memories of the original run, is that there were these occasional one-page scripts, half-page scripts that were just a gag, and I would love to see that. I'd absolutely love to see that.
Well, you never know, to be fair. Yeah, I haven't read all of them, obviously, because there's multiple runs. There's runs in the 70s, runs in the 80s, the 90s, more recently. There's loads of what-if comics out there, and there's such diversity, there's so many things they play off. What I did notice, as you get further into, at the beginning, the concepts are fairly simplistic or fairly conceptual. So one that I liked was, what if the Avengers had fought evil during the 1950s? So it actually has a lot more references to communism and to, you know, the Red Scare and all that kind of thing. So I like that from that perspective, as opposed to the more colourful 60s. But then as you get further into the what-ifs, as the continuity grows and things like that, they become a little bit more tied into particular comic runs. So what if this event in the X-Men series from 10 years ago didn't happen? You know, so it becomes a little bit more connected. And I feel like maybe then it becomes a bit deeper. I feel like some of the earlier runs, maybe, and you guys might contradict me on this because some of the later stuff I haven't read really might not be like this, but it feels like some of the earlier ones are a little bit cleaner in terms of a what-if scenario in the vein that we might well see in the in these episodes that are a little bit more clean. What if Peggy Carter becomes superpowered? You know, it's a simple idea that they can take and run with.
There's also stuff that ended up happening anyway that they did in a what if, such as what if Spider-Man's clone had survived? Well, shortly after that, it did. We find out that it did.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and it's not like that what if story at all. So
yeah.
Stuff like that. And yeah, there's a few House of M ones, because I know you've been reading House of M recently, yeah. Tony. There's the what if the Gwen Stacy from House of M also got to live in the real world and whatever else.
Cool.
There's a few of those. I can't remember exactly what there is. And yeah, there's what if in Age of Ultron, the comic series, had they lost or whatever else. I think it's, yeah, they do all those sorts of things. And now that they've embraced the multiverse a bit more in the comics as well, I think the what if continuities just start pushing up against the 616 continuity anyway. They start crossing bits of them over. It's in the same way they did with Flashpoint or whatever in the DC universe. You've got the Flashpoint Batman appearing in the main continuity for a bit and all that sort of stuff. So I think as things grow more complicated, they will make them more complicated.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if you end up with a more complicated second season, actually, of What If, eventually, or whether they will remain fairly clean. But, you know, we're a little bit of a way away from that. The last question before we go is, this is the first time the MCU has done animation, has gone into that realm in this way. What do we think about that? Do we think that this is a risk? Do we think that this is going to work? Do we think that this could...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pave the way for more animated shows based on some of these comics, as well as live action.
Well, Marvel obviously think it's going to work. They've set up their own in-house animation studio now. So, yeah, I don't think it's a risk at all. I think it will land. And I think with every Marvel thing, they haven't had a failure at all, really. So I don't think this will be the first.
I think it's sad that the setting up of Marvel's animation studios got Howard the Duck cancelled. But I think for the future,
casualties
it means...
of war.
Mate, don't get me started. I've had sleepless nights. I think it's a real shame because MODOK was fucking great and way better than I expected it to be. So I think there is a loss because of this. But what have we got to gain? If this goes well, we're going to see so many more actual canon Marvel animated stuff and some of the Star Wars animated stuff. It's the best fucking stuff, man.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the Star Wars animated stuff is tat, but some of the Star Wars animated stuff is great. Like, really kind of heart-wrenching, powerful stuff that has really surprised me how good it was. So I'm really, really excited for it. And I think it's deliberately a way of doing What If cheaper by making it animated. But I don't think that means it'll be any less significant to the Multiverse of Madness than WandaVision or Loki.
Also, in the current situation, it's easier to put together, isn't it? You get people recording in their bathrooms or whatever, and then you've got your voice track, and then the animators can just do it all from home. So you don't have to get people into risky filming situations, and you can throw something together much quicker, and as you say, a little bit cheaper as well.
I think this is going to rule, to be honest. I really do. I think this is going to be an absolute winner. And I think it's going to be incredibly fun. I think people are going to really love seeing a lot of these characters again, particularly ones who've gone, particularly the characters who might have died or have moved on or aren't in it anymore. Characters, you know, voice actors in this case that are, you know, the ones who played the characters. I think it's going to be an absolute thrill. And I could see this being one of the most popular series, actually, for that very reason. And I'm very intrigued to see how it's going to link in to what comes next, 100%.
I think it's worth mentioning that this will be the last MCU appearance of Chadwick Boseman, because he recorded some audio for it. And that's equal parts brilliant and heartbreaking, because obviously I want to see more T'Challa. And this is as close as we're going to get.
And it's interesting how they sort of build quite a bit of the trailer around that as well, around him. You know, he's the final sort of jokey bit you see with Yondu and he's like tracer thing killing all the guards. And so that seems intentional, that there you can hear Chadwick's voice more than you can everybody else's in this, in many ways. So I think that, I think they know the significance of this. I think it'll be really sad in a way. I think it'll be very poignant, actually, when we see him again.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure it'd be great. High hopes. I think it's going to be huge.
I'm so excited for it. It's been fascinating with the telly stuff. I was really excited for WandaVision, and it just about hit my expectations. I was a bit meh about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and it exceeded my expectations by a long way. I was very, very excited for Loki and had expectations that were completely and utterly ignored, but I still loved it. So I am all about the what if, because I'm so excited to see the animation. I'm so excited that this concept has come after 10 years of the MCU. And who would have thought it when Iron Man started? I actually think this could be the best one yet.
Yeah, same actually. Yeah, I think that, definitely. I'm really hopeful. So I guess we'll see. We will find out as we start covering What If. It's 10 episodes, starts in the middle of August. We're going to be covering each one, obviously, in depth. We've got a range of guests. Obviously, you guys both are coming back. I am. I'll be doing one. We'll have recurring guests such as Carpenter, Lockwood, Luke Winch, Kurt North, hopefully, will be back for one.
If you've heard anyone on this podcast before, they're likely to come back for What If.
Pretty much. Yeah, Rowan May, who was on Loki. Ollie Spring, your friend, Mark, who was on Loki. Dan Owen, who did Black Widow with me. We'll have new guests on the We Made This Podcast Network, some people from different shows popping in, which is going to be really exciting. So we've got quite the cast list for this, and it's going to be really fun to pair people up and see what they think about Marvel, including, hopefully, a few of our forthcoming female hosts for the Miss Marvel series later in the year. So it'd be great to get them on to introduce them to the podcast 616, because we're looking forward to hopefully a full female hosting team for Miss Marvel. That'd be great. But that's all to come in the future. So cheers, guys. It's been fun to unpick this a little bit and theorise and talk a little bit about What If. So it'll be great to have you guys back on this, hosting and guesting and things like that. So until then, point people to where they can find you and what you're up to.
Yeah, elsewhere you can find me outside of We Made This, obviously on Podcast 616. I've appeared hosting two of the shows, co-hosting two of the shows. I'll be back for Rarely Going quite soon, the Star Trek Lower Decks / Prodigy podcast, specifically Lower Decks, because that's the thing coming back very soon. Outside of We Made This, you can find me on Neil Before Blog, where I review nerdy comic book stuff. So I'll be reviewing What If. I'm currently reviewing stuff like Superman and Lois, The Flash, which is now finished, Legends of Tomorrow, stuff like that. Also got a podcast attached to Neil Before Blog called Neil Before Pod. The next thing that will be out will be the Loki coverage over there. So if you haven't heard enough of me talk about Loki, because I only appeared once, I'll talk about it a lot there, because I hosted that one. So that's me. And if you want to find me personally, you can find me on Twitter under Nemesis4909, which, again, legally obliged to state, is not initially a Star Trek reference. Started life as a Resident Evil reference, and then eventually became also a Star Trek reference.
I'm a bit scared of the day when you forget to do this, Craig, because I'll never forget. The universe is going to fold in on itself, I think, when that day comes.
It'll be like at the end of Loki, you'll see all these splinters start appearing on the timeline.
The thing is, I still laugh every time you do it, because I know you don't particularly like doing it.
So when did I say I don't like doing it? It's my thing, I'm owning it. I own it.
Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
It's a bit like your thing is being, you know, How Would the Duck Be in your favourite film, Mark? You know, we've all got our thing.
That's not my thing.
It is not.
Get in the sea. That is not my thing. Anyway, if you want to find me, it's at Mark Adams HC on Twitter and Instagram. We've got a couple of shows on the network. That is the Red Dwarf podcast called Shipwrecked and Comatose. That's at Red Dwarf Pod on Twitter. I've also got Life's Milestones, which is based around my job as a humanist celebrant, at Life's Milestones on Twitter. And I do the show about kids' telly, right in the childhood, at RITC Pod on Twitter. And because obviously I don't have enough podcasts, there are some interesting projects that we're working on behind the scenes that we made this that I'm going to be involved in. And I pop up on various bits and bobs as well. So, yeah, lots of podcasting. Not enough time, but I find it somewhere. Sleep's, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Sleep's overrated. Who needs that? Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I too pop up on various different things, and we made this. You can find out what I'm up to at AJ Black Writer on Twitter, where you'll find all my We Made This stuff, at WMT underscore network, and my personal website, thetruthisinhere.co.uk, where you'll find links to all my writing and books and whatnot. So thanks, guys, for joining me for this episode. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And remember, we're part of the We Made This podcast network, as we've said. Please subscribe to Podcast 616 and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to help out the network, please consider supporting us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. Marvel and animation is not all we're discussing, however. So we'll give you a little taste of what you might have missed on the network in a minute. We'll see you next time on Podcast 616, when we invite you to join us as we journey into the unknown and ponder the question, what if? Elsewhere on We Made This. Gotham University, a Batman podcast.
God, so speaking of masks, there has been some news. It sounds like Zack Snyder is in the news again. What's going on with the masks, Jay?
My boy, Zack! Just when you thought that the controversy of Zack Snyder was simmering down, he rose back up and just not only blew up the internet, not only broke the internet, he figuratively and probably literally fucked it right back into hysteria with this whole Batman news going on right now.
We dig music.
I recently watched the movie that came out recently of the book about all the black metal scene.
Oh, yes. I actually have that book.
Lords of Chaos.
Lords of Chaos, that's it, yeah. I watched the Lords of Chaos
movie. That's the one with Macaulay Culkin's brother in it.
Yes.
Something like
that. It's really good.
And where they really, really pissed off Varg by casting someone Jewish to play him.
Which is always a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Always piss off Varg McKenna's if you can, because he's a f***ing bellend. I'll scare you, Varg, even though you stabbed people 27 times.
Oh, and got caught on a train with a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Point. He's a bit of a bellend.
Uh-huh. A little bit racist. A little bit questionable.
Yeah, just a bit.
Uses papyrus as a font of choice.
And that's his worst crime.
That 100% is. I'm not even joking. Like, he's done some bad shit, but papyrus. Un-f***ing acceptable.
Beautiful.
We are Starfleet, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Oh, look at Garak. You know, he looks so cute in this.
Or I'm watching an episode he's not in, and I wonder what Garak's doing right now.
Maybe I should
text him and see what he's doing.
Okay,
see if he's watching this. Yeah.
So are you guys like texting buddies? Do you have a group chat going?
Pretty much. Yeah. It's a bit alarming. Particularly when I accidentally get CC'd on the Obsidian Order chat. But
check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.
Howard the Duck. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Howard the Duck.
Mark? Mark? Huh? Craig, do you think he knows?
I'm not sure. I don't think he does.
Do you know? You know we're still recording, right?
Ah, fuck.